This is your captain speaking. As you can tell in the cabin, we're hitting some shaky times, and it's about to get worse. So please take a moment, make sure you are buckled, and the loved ones around you are buckled. Because we're about to hit Turbulent Truth. In 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, all y'all. It's so good to have all y'all.
All y'all.
That's our pronoun, as you know. We have a pronoun alert later, don't we?
I guess, yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
We may have gotten smarter. Barely. There's so much to get into, and there's so little time to do it. We're going to jump right in.
Yes,
I'm Gary Chapman.
And I'm Scott Kutcher.
This is Turbulent Truth, as you can see. It's right there. And we do our best to listen, first of all, not just the mainstream media, but to God. And walk into this situation trying to bring you some of the information that you're aware of, some of it you may not be aware of, but all of it under the umbrella of what he wants. What's good for the kingdom, what glorifies God.
Exactly.
So that's where we are. You won't agree with us on everything because you've been wrong before. And no, I'm kidding. We are way human, but we're also committed to the truth, and we will eventually get there. If you think we're missing it, just pray for us.
Absolutely.
We'll eventually open up and see the light.
You bet.
So what's on your mind? Anything at the top of your agenda?
Well, I just find some of the things, you know, there's nothing going on, first of all, right?
No, never is.
I just find it fascinating because we're getting ready to start the presidential stuff, right? And so...
Oh, we're there.
Well, it started, but, you know, it's not the full season yet. It's the ramp up.
Yeah.
So the ramp up is always interesting to me and how the field gets cleared. And we talked a little bit about Carlson. And Tucker Carlson and some of the things that were going on.
He took a few out.
He took a few out for sure. And the one that both of us went, which was Vivek.
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Wow. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Absolutely.
We mentioned it last week. I've refused to even consider someone for president if I can't pronounce the last name.
Well, there you have
So
it.
I decided to learn.
There you go.
Ramaswamy.
Boom. There it is.
A plus.
So the interesting thing is, we've been talking about this for a while with Michelle Obama possibly running, some other things, right? So this is, he made a statement during that interview that really, I don't know why, but it popped back up on my feed. I watched it again. I'm like, and this time I got a little something different from it. The statement he made was, if I'm the candidate for Republican and they choose me over Trump or whoever.
He's the nominee.
They will not run Joe Biden against me. They will figure out a way to let all this stuff that's happening, we're going to get into that here in a minute, all this stuff that's happening is coming out about Hunter and his involvement, they're building a case to where they can use as a trump card, no pun intended, to be able to say, nope, you're not, because you can't handle running against him.
Right.
But if Trump's the thing, they think they got enough of a trump card on Trump that they can use it and they'll still hold it back from Joe.
Right.
So they can keep him as a puppet.
I see that.
So I find that really interesting, but I know... You believe...
Well, that makes sense.
It does.
That's
why
it's
interesting.
I
went, whoa,
it totally makes
here.
Sense. There is, for me, from my perspective, there's one significant flaw in that scenario.
Okay. What is it?
Joe's not going to last that long, dude. He can't keep going.
Yeah, I think he's... Okay.
He can't keep going. I'm saying there will be...
Physically. You're saying physically and
all
of course, we already know mental, but physical, he definitely is on his way down.
There will be... I think, with the mounting clear evidence, all the FBI whistleblowers, all the substantiation, all the bank records, all the stuff.
Right, that's coming out.
That clearly
validated.
Joe is way, 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 way crooked.
Well,
has been a long time, but
irrefutable
proof that will, even with the mainstream dam that is holding that information back.
It's a good way to put
dams
it.
Dams break.
Yes, they do.
And this one's going to dam break in two. So when that happens...
I say fixing two down here now,
fixing
right?
Fixing two. Sorry, that's what I meant
to
say. When
two.
That happens, they'll see that it's coming and they'll take him out.
Mm.
Here's the other thing.
Okay.
My problem with that scenario...
Yeah.
I don't think the rhinos that are in power are ever going to have the cojones to actually pull the trigger and do anything. They love to talk about it. They love to dangle that big carrot in front of us conservative folks to say, oh, here it comes. Oh, look, hey, look. Yep, you see that on the horizon?
Yeah.
That's the hand of God coming at us. It's going to say, and those guys, they're part of it.
They are.
Sorry,
they
a
are
lot
part
of them
are
part
issue.
Of it. And so, I don't know. I don't think, though, that he's going to, in either case, I don't think he's going to have the ability to move on. He's going to have a bad fall. He's going to literally just completely go.
Interesting.
And
so something's going to happen somewhere.
Yes, yeah. I do believe that.
You know what? That's very plausible. It'll be interesting to watch as we go forward. That's why I brought it up.
Right.
I would like to have some of this pontification out there so we can go, whoa, wait a minute.
I do like Vivek. I do.
I do too.
And I hope he becomes the Secretary of Defense.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
I'm okay with that.
That would be very
or something, Secretary of something.
Vice President makes sense to me, if him and Trump could get along.
Yeah.
That's the question.
He would bring in the young
he would.
Independents.
He would,
because he's huge with them.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Trump needs a balance to his hammer, right?
True.
So if you've got, all you got's a hammer, every problem's a nail, and it's not. You know, that's part of the problem that I've had since day one.
Well, but so the reality
But you still need a hammer to break up what's going on, right?
Yeah.
So the hammer's needed to break up what's going on, but then you need someone else that's willing to go, okay, he broke this, which is needed broken, and then over here, we need to redirect those energies into rebuilding, right? So you need the one that, okay, no different than the house shows that I love to watch. You got demo, and then you got the reconstruction.
Oh, yeah.
Trump is the demo.
Yeah,
Trump is literally the, I'm going to demo this really old rickety system that needs repaired and redone. And
the
other guy comes in and goes, here's what we're going to do to rebuild it. Now it's been demoed. Here's how we're going to rebuild it according to the Constitution.
So America needs flipping.
Time to flip America.
It's time to flip America. And we don't mean what you thought when we... No. You cannot flip America with one finger.
No,
you cannot.
No.
It's going to take a hammer.
Speaking of flipping people, what's going on in Germany?
So there's so much unrest in the world.
Oh.
We see it everywhere. It's more and more. You got your Trantifas. You got
which is a real thing.
That's a thing.
It's a real thing. Look it up. Trantifas. Look it up.
Yes.
It's a real thing.
I came face to face with
you
Trantifa.
Did came up face to face with them,
and I was like, wow, well, there's a bunch of them. Look at that,
and they're so angry.
They're it's very angry. This is an angry cat. So, that's a thing. But there's so much unrest and protest everywhere in Germany. I think it's particularly the climate folks. They've taken to sitting down. In
roadways
and intersections and just blocking the traffic.
Why not?
And the people of Germany have been very resourceful in handling difficult situations for a long time. And these people have figured it out.
Okay, let's see this. Let's drag them off.
There you go.
Yep, let's drag them off.
Okay, that works, right?
Yeah, well, he's going to get up, though. Oh, there we go.
We can drag him again.
Yeah, drag him again.
Now, this lady on the right.
Yeah.
What is she has a plan.
Oh, my gosh.
She has a plan that I approve.
Let's take her by the hair.
I cannot speak German, but I'm pretty sure what she just said. I think I heard that.
It was,
Whoa, and they're getting a little more aggressive. I think they got some air on that one. Another
come on,
removal.
Guys.
Okay, now this lady, she knows it worked once.
Yeah.
She's just going to be better. This time, she gets a handful.
Oh.
She's like, all right, over here, all the way over here.
Yeah, you don't have to drag start because they're helping.
Yeah.
Because it hurts really bad.
So
you
I just
think. You got to salute
them.
Do we do it like this?
That is nothing. I recommend the double so there's no confusion. We should.
Well, it's straight up, not out, right? So it's not.
Oh my gosh!
It's okay.
So there's some new folks that are sitting with us at church. This is ironic.
Oh no!
And very funny. We were, at church service, and it was, worship service, and this.
Of course.
And at one point, it was Baptism Sunday. Here's the picture. It's amazing.
Beautiful.
So many people, and it's beautiful to see that happen. And every time they come out of the water, everybody goes crazy, and it's a big right. celebration. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So after that, there's a prayer, and to kind of, we're dedicating ourselves to helping them, and you know, it's beautiful. And the pastor encouraged us to all extend a hand
we do.
Toward them and pray. So the whole congregation, no, it was pretty much, the picture? Yeah. And he sent my wife a picture. He said, I've decided to go with two hands from now on because, and he sent a picture of like Germany, you know, 1939. And he's got a point.
What's great about him, he's from Australia, right?
The pastor.
So the pastor is. So, you know, he understands all the foreign elements and things probably mm-hmm. better than what we do.
Right.
But he's been here a long time. So for him to say, maybe we should
It wasn't him. It was the guy next
to him. Or wasn't.
No, it was the guy that raised his hand. It was he's not a visitor now. If you come twice, you're not a visitor anymore.
So the visitor.
But they were sitting with us and.
Great. They're all thinking,
He's like, wow, should I do this or not? And I think he made a wise choice. I think it's better to go the double anyway, just to take
Always.
The question.
Yeah. You off. Never want to give yeah. ammunition.
Get
Absolutely
the question
not.
Off the table.
Absolutely not.
So there's a lot happening in the Congress, all the hearings that they're having that I personally don't have a lot of hope that they're actually going to pull the trigger on anything.
No.
But
it's a show.
But it's a good show.
It is.
Been watching any of it?
I've watched some of it, yes, because you've made me.
I'm gonna make them watch a minute and 30 seconds.
Okay, we'll do that.
In the day of action, you guys were intending to interview 12 people, one of whom was Rob Walker, a business associate of Hunter Biden. And in particular, you wanted to talk about, I think the quote is, 10 held by H for the big guy,
yeah.
right? So who did you infer that the big guy may be?
So all I can do is speak to the evidence there. What I can say is, I think I know what you're referring to is when we're preparing for that, interview and we're referencing that email, 10 held by H for the big guy, and from what I understand, that to be President Biden.
Okay, and so I'm sorry, I just want to ask Mr. Shapley a similar question, because the AUSA Wolf interjected, and I'm reading from your transcript now, and said she did not want to ask about the big guy, and stated she did not want to ask questions about dad, in quotes. Who did you take dad to be when she refers to dad?
The father of the subject is President Biden.
President Biden. And so even by her response, she's inferring that Joe Biden may be involved in Hunter Biden's transactions.
You think?
Wow.
You think? Surely not.
A little bit of a Freudian slip there. Dad.
Dad. Yeah. Man, it's just...
It's getting good because the truth is percolating to the top. That's the thing about truth. You can't push it down forever.
No.
Eventually, it always... And then the truth comes out and you have to deal with it.
Yeah. The same guy, Gary Shapley, I believe. Shapley? I wish my last name was Shapley. Then I could... No, anyway.
Well, I'm a shape.
These guys are heroes. If you're looking for them... They are coming head on into the absolute point of the spear of the enemy.
Yeah, they are.
And God bless them.
And we need to continue to pray for them and lift them up because they're fighting that battle.
Check this guy.
Okay.
At every stage, decisions were made that benefited the subject of this investigation. For example, prosecutors concealed contents of Hunter Biden's laptop from investigators. DOJ slow walked steps to include interviews, serving document requests, and executing search warrants. Warrants that were ready as early as April of 2020, but were delayed until after the November 2020 election and never pursued. Investigators were not allowed to follow up on WhatsApp messages from Hunter Biden's Apple iCloud backup, where he suggested he was sitting next to his father. Assistant United States Attorney Leslie Wolf cited the optics of executing a search warrant at President Biden's residence as a deciding factor for not allowing it, even though she agreed that probable cause existed. Prosecutors instructed investigators not to ask about the big guy or dad when conducting interviews. The Biden transition team was tipped off about interviews the night before the investigation went over, a fact my FBI counterpart confirmed to this committee in a recent testimony, where the result was that only one witness spoke to investigators that day. These are just some of the examples of how our investigation was stymied.
Wow.
Okay, so that's what we're up against, and the machine that is behind all the blocking and the withholding of information, it's just so big. If you look at it and say, Donald Trump says he's going to get in there day one, he's going to start cleaning house. I tried the first time. Turns out the swamp was bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah, he didn't have the landscape. He didn't have the good intel on it yet.
And a lot of the people that he brought in turned out
to be swampy.
To be swampish.
Yeah.
And I get that. I suspect he will not repeat that mistake.
No, I don't think so either.
But even so, man, there's so much.
There
it's
is.
So much.
But you know,
I'm back. I'm back to where I always get in this thing.
God has to intervene.
This is a God thing.
He has to.
For this to work out well for America to truly say get back, say great again, say whatever you want to say, but for God's will to be done in this country, it's going to be God.
Now, I'm going to say something very controversial in that statement.
Okay. Go.
I don't believe we were ever to the level that God ordained our country to get to. I think we stopped short of fulfilling the Constitution that was God-breathed, also, in my opinion, to Christian men to start a new place that could glorify God
right.
to the rest of the world.
Where do you
and
think,
I think
where
we
do you
stopped
think we
short.
Went wrong? Where did we start going wrong? Because it was a good idea in the beginning.
It was. It was a good idea.
Did we make it to 1800? That'd be very short. It'd be like 25 years. Did we make it that far?
I think.
Did we make it to 1840?
I think when we started to turn the corner to become great was when we...
Civil War?
A Civil War eliminated slavery. And we started that process of truly fulfilling all men are equal.
So we
equal.
Made it up to about 1920.
And then we had moments of windows of progress towards it.
Right.
Windows of it, right?
Right.
So you had the Industrial Age. It actually was very nasty. A lot of people don't want to talk about that, but it really was.
But around 1929.
Yeah, because of the nastiness, God intervened, so to speak, right? So we had the 20s, roaring 20s, and 29, the crash. After that, you had people like Ford and them ushering in morality behind capitalism.
At the same time, right? You had FDR issuing, slowly, quietly bringing in communism.
And not only that, but you had, so that's one pinpoint that took it back down. Another big one, in my opinion, is Woodrow Wilson.
Yes, definitely.
Woodrow Wilson literally rewrote history being as one of the main guys over at Princeton University. So he got to help determine the curriculum of public school systems. So when he did that, he literally eliminated our black brothers and sisters' place of when they were freed, how we worked together through world wars and everything else to free the nation. And they were an intricate part of that process from
wow.
the Civil War all the way through, from slaves acting like slaves for the other side to spy on them for us, which pinnacle turning point in the Civil War, look it up. Thank you, my black brothers and sisters, to other huge ones in World War I and II, still fighting the bias of what was left over from racism in the inbreeding that was going on from that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped. It was like after World War II, we went, okay, we're good. I think they're free.
We fixed it.
We're good. We just got to stay this course now. And that's when we just fell asleep.
It's also,
I would say the 50s, 60s.
It's also when the United Nations
was formed. Exactly right.
Which was evil at its core.
And when was the World Economic Forum formed?
Mm-hmm. Same time.
Okay, yeah, so...
The hands of time swing, and look where we are.
And the really big one that tied us to them and made it so much, so true what the Bible says about the root of all evil,
money.
Was when we tied our currencies, to them because we were afraid another World War II, another bomb was going to be dropped, it will stop you from nuking anyone ever again. So we got to tie everyone's together. If we tie it together as a global economy,
mm-hmm.
we'll never do that again. So the intention was good, the implementation was flawed.
Right.
And so here we are, tied to everyone else, and we have to be globalists, And slowly we've sucked all of our capability, what made America potentially great. Mm-hmm. So I'm more of a potentially great. Let's not make it great again. Let's finally get there. Let's finally get there. Because I believe that we were on the right track and we just kept getting derailed by the evils behind the scenes.
Yeah, and we can't afford to do that at this moment.
We can fulfill it, guys. We can do it. If yes. if you strip down the Constitution and the amendments back to their original meaning, which is happening ironically in the courts right now, thank you, Jesus.
That is true.
It's happening. We're slowly getting back to what that really means, and it is for all, not some, not elites, not the not, all.
Yep.
So anyways, that's my little rant.
But the wave that we're going to have to surf as a result of the upheaval of our ocean is big.
Yeah,
it's a big one.
But
the think about this. I just read this morning.
Okay.
The number of illegal, that's what I said, illegal immigrants.
Well, there is a law about it.
There is a law, and they broke it.
Several, actually.
That's where the phrase comes from.
Yeah.
The number of illegal immigrants to come into our country virtually unscathed and completely supported with money, phones, health insurance,
everything,
education, everything. No, we don't even know where they are, half of them. Mm-mm. The number of people that, without question, is probably a lot bigger than this, but the number of people that came in is larger than the population of 35 separate states. 35 of the 50 states have a smaller population than we let in during Joe Biden's administration so far.
Really?
Think about that. We just became the next one. Tennessee has, Tennessee has 6.9 million people as of the 2020, probably a lot more, thank you, California, since then. But the at least 7 million is the number that have come in.
Yeah.
35 of our 50 states have a smaller population. Let that sink in and tell me the border's secure. Seriously?
Wow.
Don't let them lie to you. Don't.
Mm.
Don't buy that crap. It's not true. It is not true. And, you know, they, not Democrats, I'm telling you, it's not about that. The darkness thinks that all those people are theirs. They're their property.
Yeah, right? To redirect the way they want.
To use, redirect, control. They're not. Those people are.
They're human beings.
They're all human beings, and they all have free will. And you can't ever determine what one individual person's going
to
do.
But the weaponization of pain is something that goes back to Cain and Abel.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a weaponization of pain. If someone's in pain or struggling with mental health or whatever, if they that are in power, when I say they, I'm talking about the people that are trying to run the rest of us, you know, the haves versus the have nots. They use that forever. Well, they've used that, I should say, forever. Okay. And I need to stop there and then just parlay into what you said earlier because it struck me because you told me the term. I'm going to look it up afterwards. You know, I always get my own data.
What was the term I used?
Trans Tifa. Okay. So let's go back to, and you know, I've got a heart for the ones that are truly mentally ill with that, and that we're just affirming them instead of walking out this mental illness and a lot of times demon possession.
Yeah.
So
there's a fine line.
You've seen some of that.
With consistency, yes.
And when you see the demon possession in one of these people that are struggling with sexuality, with trans, with all of it.
Yep.
How do you deal with it? I mean, it's calm, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people think that when you deal with that and as a Christian, you're supposed to yell and scream scripture at them.
Yeah,
and that's not true.
There's a stereotypical preconception of like how a Catholic goes about it.
How the movies have been done. Yeah.
Right. There's that. There is the...
Which also is not true, by the way.
Is also not accurate. There is the stereotypical approach that you would think if you have a Pentecostal background,
Baptist.
That kind of, Baptists don't do it.
Yeah, it's true. They don't, do they?
It's very loud. Mm. It's very aggressive and confrontational. It's a fight because it is a fight.
But not with the person.
But if you really look at it correctly and look at what Jesus did,
which we should.
How many times did Jesus yell at a demon in the New Testament? Anybody want to look that up for me?
Once. And when, that was when they were attacking someone else, and he didn't yell. He just said, "Get out." He actually didn't yell. Yeah. He just commanded, "Get out."
I didn't hear it, so I can't say.
Right.
But he didn't scream at him for a few hours. I know that.
No, absolutely not.
There is an authority that's given to us. Thank God for Jesus.
Thank you.
Because
Jesus.
We would have no hope without him.
Yeah.
But there is an authority. There are spiritual laws that are in place. You bring these things to the courts of heaven, study it, then argue with me.
It's a real thing.
And when you do that correctly, there's not a lot of screaming involved.
You're dealing with the individual, and you're also dealing with the demon, right? So when you talk to him, you're like addressing what?
You're gonna occasionally talk to the person because you're trying to find the root, the core, the trauma that allowed that opening to let that demonic spirit have that position in the person. So you gotta deal with that. There's a human being there that's really hurting.
Yes.
More than most people understand pain. Yeah. They're in pain.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But
then there's a point that it's like, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you. What's your name?
Oh, this is so bad.
And they actually pretty much have to tell you. And then it's on. Then it's a fight. Good news, it's a fight you're gonna win. There's nothing more invigorating than a fight that you know you're gonna win. And it is amazing. It is so rewarding and beautiful and humbling. And it's hard to talk about because it's so powerful and so beautiful. And you will never, ever, ever doubt the power of God when you see someone's face go from complete torture and pain that they've been dealing with for decades to peace and complete joy and celebration at the freedom they've just been given. There's nothing like it.
There isn't.
I've never seen anything like it. It is a joy, and it's hard. It's not, it's just what I have to do at this point in my life. I don't think it's going to change because Satan's going to be around for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The whole world's going to get delivered from that bastard. Yes, I use that word because that's kind of what he is.
Yeah, he is.
Quite frankly.
Yeah, I think it was defined for him.
Yes. So.
Created. No.
And yeah, well, that went down a path, but yeah, that's the way it works.
But it's a beautiful path. That's the way it does work.
Yeah.
So. Here are these hurting people, and a lot of them have opened through that trauma the door for demons, and they're being weaponized.
Yeah, they are.
They're being weaponized.
They are.
And that's what we got to keep
in mind. That's what a chump he is. To take
right?
the pain that he inflicted.
A piece of crap.
And manipulate those people with the pain that he brought them to do his bidding. It's just... And what a chump.
And then he sells them on the fact that anyone that's trying to help them become free from that
is the enemy. Yeah.
We are the enemy, even though we love them, we get emotional about it, we care about them. If someone comes and wants to be redeemed, we are the first to jump in on the front lines and
right.
go, God, use us, please use us, use us, and be that conduit. That,
well, I've
that
told you about the I love you scream fest that me and that Catholic priest... Have I talked about that?
You have not talked about it. I don't think you've talked about it on film. If so, it's a good repeat.
Matt Walsh, the What Is a Woman thing, that whole process that
right.
happened. He came and did a thing at War Memorial close to the steps of the Capitol downtown in Nashville.
Yeah.
And a lot of people showed up to show support for him. And a very small but extremely loud, because they had these little amplifiers, little portable bullhorns and stuff.
And we did show that part on a different episode, so go find that.
Yeah.
But keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the middle of all that.
Yeah.
Just after the part that we did show, I hear this guy, and he's screaming so loud. And so
vile,
honestly inhuman. There's a sound coming out of him that is not particularly human. It's English.
Is it?
But it's, well, whatever. But he was saying at the top of his lungs over and over and over and over and over again, F, you know, you, fascist. Very loud, repeated.
And in people's faces too.
So. And there was a Catholic priest, I assume, collar, you know, the look.
Could have been Lutheran.
And I looked at him, and we both looked at the guy, and he did it first, to his credit. He started it. He walked over to the guy, and he just said, "I love you. I love you. I love you." And he's getting closer and closer to this guy's face.
Wow.
And louder and louder. And I thought, you know what?
That's it.
I love that dude too. And there is strength in numbers. And the two of us, I got shoulder to shoulder with that guy, and we went this close to that dude's face while he's screaming at the top of his lungs, "F you, fascist." We're both screaming, "I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you." And it went on for a good while. I, thank you, God, have the ability to get
really loud
if I want to. And I lost my voice screaming, "I love you," to that dude. Guess what? It worked. Dude folded. After a while, it's like I started screaming. I went to his level. And then I just felt like, okay, just back. And that lasted a while. Back down, back down, back down. I kept saying, "I love you," but I got quieter and quieter and quieter. And his voice got quieter and quieter and quieter, saying the same thing. And finally, it was conversational. I said, "Dude, I really do love you. I really love you. And this is stupid. This is stupid what's going on here. Mm-hmm. We don't need this. This is not helping."
Well,
It was bizarre. Love actually
prevailed. Because it always does.
Yeah.
God's love, not love.
Right.
And there's a difference. Oh, don't even get me started on that. We don't have enough time.
We don't have time.
We do not have the time for that. But what's interesting is, listening to the story again, I'm sitting there going, and the reason I snickered earlier is I had this crazy thought. That's just me, right? Can't help it.
Shocker.
My humor is what gets me through, folks. I hope you can appreciate it. But when you were talking to him, but when you were shouting to them.
That's exactly right.
So multiple demons. So guess what?
That's it. This is the pronoun.
The pronouns are right. They, them is actually Satan and his crew.
Good grief.
Inside demonic. So yes, if you say, "Please address me as they, them," we need to exercise your demons.
You know what? We need to honor that.
We need to exercise your demons.
And you guys know our stance on pronouns. I'm a he, you're a she, unless you got one of those.
And we're a we.
And we're a we. Unless you have a we, you're a she. No, there are pronouns, and they are accurate, and they shouldn't be changed. But he's right. If you identify as they, them, you're not alone.
This is how we all need to identify.
Because you've got several partners that are in there with you probably, and please reach out to someone in your area that can give you genuine, only God-given deliverance. Is the word you're looking for, deliverance?
Because
it's beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing, and we want to walk it out with you. We do. You're not alone. You think you're alone. You're not alone.
Yeah.
God's got you first, and then he's called us to have your back.
Yeah. Well, you're really not alone, because
there's a bunch in there.
But once they're gone.
When they then have left.
When they then are gone, you're still not alone. Because
you're not.
Jesus will walk with you.
Ugh.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay, so there are a couple of really funny things that have happened.
I was saying, did we get a little deep there, maybe?
We got a little bit sideways.
Well, you know, it's
there.
All right.
We were talking about the illegal immigration issue.
Yes, oh my gosh. When you said that many states, that's a new one. I have not.
It is an amazing thing.
Read that yet, and it's alarming.
That's
what's going on with child trafficking. We're just feeding a beast right now.
Yes.
Because you're letting all these children come through.
Yeah, you're going down a dark road again.
It's like, we're feeding the beast.
Stop. We're going to get funny for a minute.
Okay,
quit it.
Let's go.
Good Lord,
what are you waiting on?
So the illegal immigration issue, I've stumbled upon a meme that I think really could be the answer.
Really?
The child sex trafficking,
okay,
and illegal immigration.
Those two together.
Are two issues that can be solved by one process.
Why am I really scared?
Let's have illegal immigrants hunt down sex offenders for a chance at citizenship. We'll call it aliens versus predators. Genius. That's genius. I know smart when I see it. That's smart. And I know funny when I see it. And that's pretty stinking funny.
Oh, that is awesome.
Aliens versus Predators.
I love it. I'd watch that sequel.
That is strong. That is very strong. Okay, so this is sort of funny. It's kind of not funny. It's we were talking about, is Joe going to make it? Is he not going to make it?
Will Michelle step in? That kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, she's probably more of a man than him anyways. But
I'm just going to, wow, okay. He's what? Psychic. What? I'm going to toss up a picture here.
Oh, gosh.
And I want you
I'm
to.
I'm scared.
I'm going to.
Why am I always scared when I say
you,
that?
I'm going to have you glance at this image.
I'm not drinking right now.
I want you to tell me who, it's a couple.
Okay.
I want you to tell me who is the dominant person in this image.
Okay. No. Are you?
Dude. And, check the hands.
Look huge.
At good grief.
Oh my gosh.
And that
it's,
face.
It's
that
it's face.
Patrick Ewing with a manicure.
Okay.
What? Wow. You know, look at the hands. You can palm your head and lift you up.
Yeah, probably so. And might try if she ever gets a chance because of the things that I have said. And you know what, though? You got to look at the bright side. You have to look at the bright
side.
You
know this is throttled now. This will never get out.
I know.
Okay.
Bright side, if Trump is the nominee.
Yes.
And last night they go, you know what?
Yeah.
Michelle Obama is the only person that can beat him.
Yeah.
And they put her in there and they manipulate the electorate as they did before. Now we're definitely throttled. When they do that, you got to find the positive. You've always got to find the positive. We will finally, this country will have a president that can dunk. Won't that be good? And we can make all wars a one-on-one on the basketball. Half court, man-on-man, off you
man
go.
Man-on-man.
And we're going to win every war. There's nobody they could put up, but.
Well, it's Patrick Ewing. Of course we're going to.
Yeah. I mean, Putin's, he's like here, you know? It's going to be
laughable. He's my height, and that's not very tall.
It's going to be a short match, I'm just telling you. No pun intended.
Xi Jinping's not much taller.
See? Look at this. I'm telling you, this is.
We can win.
Maybe this is the strategy.
Okay, Michelle for president.
There you go. I know we're going to give her all our support. Okay. All right, I'm going to leave all the jockstrap jokes on the table.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And move on because it's time and we're going off the rails. And I'm still Gary Chapman.
And I'm, for right now, still Scott Kutcher.
Yes, he is. And this is Turbulent Truth.
Indeed.
You, all my faith my way to the light. All my strength to fight and open my eyes. Give me strength. Give me strength. Find your peace of mind. I won't leave.